Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. And we're back with episode 98. I literally just finished recording 97. I hit stop recording like 20 seconds ago, and then I hit recording right away. We're diving into this one. So let's knock it out. So thanks for listening, first of all. Welcome back. If you did not listen to the previous episode yet, please go ahead and do so. Bit of a rant maybe about the ultra-processed food conversation slash debate just not being very helpful in my opinion, and how focusing on adding more minimally processed foods seems to be, at least in my experience, the better way to go. I also shared that we now have a second coach on our team, so we are celebrating not just that, we also celebrate Christmas and New Year's, as well as my birthday on January 2nd. So with that, I will be giving away 1 or 2 free months of coaching to anyone who signs up before the end of the year. You're going to be working with our new coach, Alexandra. She's awesome. And I'm fully confident in her getting you incredible results. So that being said, right, I will be overseeing everything as we are a team. And I always like to be involved with all of our clients. But, which by the way, also means that you basically get 2 coaches, right? But either way, if you are interested in coaching, let me extend your coaching for free. We only work with people for 6 months minimum, though. And that's because we are very serious about working with you. We want to get to know you. We want to connect with you. We're your team, you know what I mean? So I want you to take this serious, too. Like, if you're serious about your goals and you want to really take this to the next level, like, we're going to commit to 6 months, but I'm going to give you a free month on top of that. So you're going to get 7. Or if you want to sign up for 12, I will give you 2 free bonus months at the back end. So that's 14. Here's some good news as well. You do not have to pay like that whole amount in one go. It's just a monthly thing, 1 month to the next, right? And then you get those free bonus months at the back end. Plus, right? If you join, I will give you instant access for free in December. So that means that you can already jump in. You don't have to wait for the new year, for January 1st. You will get access right away. You can get started right away. You get access to us right away. Which means that, and of course, by the way, we're not going to die through Christmas and those kind of things. Of course not. But that means that you get a head start instead of having to wait, right? Instead of having to wait, stressing around nutrition, etc., and then taking like 20 steps back. And then starting like January 1st. Like, no. I'm here to help you. My team is here to help you. I'm super proud to have Alexandra on our team. So that being said, let's celebrate. If you've been thinking about coaching, sign up right now. You can go to the link in our show notes. I'm going to give you 1 or 2 free bonus months. Plus, early access in December. If you've been thinking about it, like, now is literally the time. Right? I'm going to go and call you crazy if you, like, don't go for it. Because this will not last. And, yeah. I'm only opening 10 spots for all of December and January, which I mean, right? So my personal roster is full. So I cannot take any other clients on. You're all going to go to Alexandra. If you want to work with me, that's going to be at least like a 2-3 month waiting list. So that being said, if you want to get started, there's really no need to rush. I would start right away. That completely just messed up my point. I was going to say there's no need to wait, obviously, for the new year. Because let's be honest, you can get results now and then wait. But what's going to happen next year then? You're still not going to know how to include Christmas. So let's just dive in. Learn how to flexibly, but still, healthily, like, include Christmas and the holidays. And not, let it turn into a binge just because it's like one day. Because that's Christmas, right? It's really just one day or maybe a few, but still. We can go about it in a different way, I think. And we're going to teach you how to. So you can sign up via the link in our show notes, get free coaching as a bonus because we are celebrating, like I said, the new year, Christmas, our new coach, Alexandra, as well as my birthday. So let's get to it. Now, continuing the Q&A. In last episode, I said I was going to share a little bit of a client story, so I want to start there. Because the client story, I feel like, will sound very familiar maybe to you. And it's a typical thing this time of the year, but it even plays into, right, working with a coach. And the wrong expectations that people kind of set, or that people expect maybe going into a program. Because there's a lot of coaching out there, but there's also a lot of shitty coaching out there. So here's the thing, guys. I got an email last week of a client, and she, I'm not going to share the details, but she was like, you know what? I have this going on, this and this. I feel overwhelmed. I'm stressed. I have no time. I'm not in a good place. Look, I don't want to be wasting your time. I know you're a great coach, and you know, I appreciate your help, but I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to be an annoyance to you. And I just don't think it's the right time right now for me to do this. Thank you. And we'll speak soon. So what I did was show up for her as a coach should, right? What I did was send her an email and I told her, like, hey, look, I understand 100%. But I'm not just here, and I'm doing a long story short here, right? I said, I'm not just here for the easy shit, because this is not a meal plan, or, you know, here's your calories, good luck, right? Like, no. Objectively speaking, it's actually very easy for a coach to put together a meal plan, or especially, I mean, these days, fucking like every coach in quotes, right? At least in Norway, seems to be using like an automated like recipe update app with a chat function, right? Where you get access to a coach, but like there's no really like teaching in following a meal plan. That's literally just automatic, right? Like in an app does it for them. So there's not even like a lot of work there. But anyway, it's like that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here for the easy shit. Like as your coach, I'm especially here for these periods where you are stressed and where you feel overwhelmed and anxious. And that's what coaching is. I think there's this idea in Norway, but worldwide, but like especially I see this a lot in Norway, and it's not a good thing, where coaching, in quotes, is the meal plan or, right, the whatever app. But like coaching is helping you stick to whatever your protocol is and working through things and working through stress and periods of anxiety and where you feel overwhelmed and where you do not manage to stick to it. Because it's very easy as a coach to set your macros. And if you're just following, great. Then we know, hey, we can change your macros, make a little tweak here, eat a little bit more of this, a little bit less of this. Boom, there you go. Super simple. But in reality, it doesn't happen that way. In reality, people struggle. In reality, people have a hard time learning how to track macros, have a hard time coming up with a healthy meal. People struggle with social settings, with Christmas. There's stress eating. There's so much shit that will work against you on this fitness journey, on this odyssey, that no one seems to talk about. Because we tend to think that it's like no effort, and it's just all, you know, I get started, boom, there we go, let's go. I'm going to, you know, lose weight, build muscle, and it's all going to be easy and perfect. But that's not the case. Real coaching actually helps you work through that stuff. That's what coaching is about. That's what we are about, at least. I'm not going to speak for anyone else but OCS, obviously. And that's what we do. We actually help you. So I told her, going back to my email, I swear, like every episode is just going to be a rant. a well-meant rant, of course. No, but like, I told her, like, look, it would be very easy also for me as the coach, like if you were just be hitting your macros and all that, but that's not the reality. I'm especially here right now for you. I'm here for you. I want to help you. I understand. But the way I see it, like, hey, even if it means we're not going to be tracking macros, if we're, you know, going to find a different solution, even if it's that, we can still do our check-ins, and we can still, even though there's a lot outside of our control, we can still focus on what's within our control. And we did a call today, and she told me what's, you know, what was going on, family stuff, and, you know, busy, and a lot of responsibilities, and a lot of factors that would make anyone, including myself, feel very stressed. So I told her, you know what? Like, hey, I get it. I get it 100%. Most people would feel like this. And most people would also say, it's not the right time. But the way I think about it, guys, is, and I like to use this analogy, you know, like in the airplane, right? When the oxygen thing, like the mask, falls down. What are you supposed to do? You put the thing on your own face first, and then you help the person or the kid next to you, right? You see that, like, every fucking flight you get on, you get that little dance they do. And it's like, you grab the mask, you take care of yourself first, and then you take care of the next person. That's how you want to see this too. Another analogy is, right, saying, I guess, is you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Like, how are you supposed to show up for other people? How are you supposed to pour into other people if your cup is empty? So let's fill your own cup first. And I know this is especially difficult to maybe grasp when we feel stressed and overwhelmed, which, by the way, during our call, she didn't necessarily feel stressed and overwhelmed in that moment, which allows for more clear thinking, right? Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. When we do not feel like that, we can start to find solutions. And when we do not feel like that, we can start to think, hey, you know what? There is a lot outside of my control, but there are still things I can do. And you know what? Like, there are still moments where I can influence what's going into my own body. There are still things that I can do, even though I feel stress in general, right? I could still do the same thing someone who is not stressed does. Maybe I don't feel in control and I feel overwhelmed. Guess what? I can still take the same actions as future me who will not be stressed and overwhelmed and does not feel in control, right? Or who does, feel in control. Even though you might not feel like you are currently successful, you can still take the same actions that a successful person will take with and without motivation. So I told her, like, what's the main issue you think? Like, what's holding you back right now? So she said, okay, so I know that I tend to stress eat. So okay, you know, stress eating, yeah. Then she went on to say, I tend to eat like everything that's in the house because it's already there. I didn't do my shopping. So I just eat whatever. Or I stop for a pizza on the way home. So I was like, you know what? Like, I get that too. Because obviously if you're busy and you don't have a lot of time in your day, you feel overwhelmed. Of course you're going to go for whatever's around the house. And of course, hey, even a pizza along the way home, it's quick, it's cheap, it's convenient, right? It only makes sense that you would go for that option. Because she has a lot of responsibility. She needs to be there for other people. So that was kind of like the only option almost, right? In that moment. Or it felt like the only option. So I was like, you know what? Like, that totally makes sense. But it sounds like that's more of a effect of something she mentioned earlier. And that was that one little part of the sentence, right? Because I don't have the groceries in the house, because I don't have the healthy food that I would usually eat. Because she was doing pretty good with tracking and, you know, eating healthy and stuff. So then she was like, okay, yeah, that's true. So I was like, you know, like, what are we going to do about it? Well, I could actually make sure that I get my groceries, because that would kind of keep me from, like, it would kind of like stop the whole snowball from, you know, continuing or even getting started. It's like, we get the healthy food, it's already there. Okay, now we don't have to give in to the temptations, whatever. We already have stuff taken care of. And she was like, hey, yeah, you know, normally I do good with meal prepping and all that. I just didn't have the time right now. I do not have, or, you know, have not had time to go into the store. Okay. is there maybe another solution? Yes, we can actually order something online, especially in the US. There's some great websites, I think even Amazon, not from personal experience, but there's websites where you can order your groceries. So she's like, you know what, like that's actually a good solution, because when I'm taking care of the person I'm taking care of and they're asleep, I can actually go and quickly order something on my phone and have groceries delivered to my house. Plus, because I told her, like, hey, like you mentioned you want to go to the store, let's be specific, let's plan for it. She's like, okay, Saturday morning before I go there, I'm going to go. I'm going to plan for that and I'm going to make it happen. So we just took a stressful, overwhelming moment where she literally said, hey, like I got to stop coaching for now because I don't think I can do this right now. All it took was a little bit of like, okay, let's calm down, zoom out, let's have a conversation about this. And I wanted to share this with you as a listener, because you might also feel like this, where you go through a program where you do not feel like you can stick to this, right? It's all on you. It's you, you, you. You have to do this. And if you don't follow the meal plan, you suck, right? That's not what this should be like. If your coach actually wants to coach you, if they actually do their fucking job, right? They are supposed to be there for you every single week, no matter what happens. And they're supposed to be there for you and help you work through shit like this. That's what this is about. It's very easy to create a meal plan. It's very easy to put macro targets, whatever it is. That's not what it is. It's not even about the specific foods that we need to eat. It's about working through those obstacles. That is what this is about. So I hope that makes sense, right? I want you to not feel guilty if you can't follow someone's recommendations or advice, whatever. But communicate with them, right? And then again, it's also the coach's responsibility to actually kind of, yeah, set the tone there and be like, hey, you know what? Like you can actually share everything with me. And we are a team. So let's work on this together. So I hope that kind of inspires you to not be discouraged if things kind of like work against you, you know? Now let's get into the episode, or the Q&A, I should say. First question. If I eat 2,000 calories and my food is mostly fat and processed foods, what we call bad food, and we would compare that to 2,000 calories on a good, in quotes, diet, including vegetables, good protein sources, minimally processed foods, both diets are 2,000 calories. Will I be able to lose weight with both diets? And does it matter what fuel I use for training? Great two-part question. So to your first point, yes, you will be able to lose weight with both diets. However, and right, this is energy balance. It's at the end of the day, it's the calories. However, that's specifically for weight loss. If your diet is mostly, right, as you mentioned, fats and those kind of things, and you also specifically set in the good diet, the good protein sources. Okay, if we compare maybe like a standard American diet, for example, which also, by the way, tends to be, you know, very low in protein and stuff, that if you compare that to a healthy, mostly whole foods or minimum processed food based diet with good amount of protein, you will likely be feeling better, performing better, maintaining / building more muscle and losing more body fat with the more whole food, let's call it, diet. Technically, food quality does not matter for weight loss. However, if you eat like shit, you're going to feel like shit. If you eat good, you're going to feel good. And by good, I mean mostly minimally processed foods. Just about 80 to 90% of your calories should come from that. With a protein intake of just about a gram per pound of body weight, which is like 2 grams per kilo of body weight, which is based on your goal weight, by the way. You can go a little bit lower, but just from experience, that, you know, seems to work very well for satiety reasons, especially because she's talking about losing weight. Now, then she says, what doesn't matter for training, what kind of fuel I use? Yes, it does matter. You want to get your carbs in, and preferably starchy carbohydrate. That's going to be turned into, broken into glucose. That is our main fuel source. That's for training. That's for the body as well as brain that's also stored in your muscles. So you want to get your carbs. There's also a little bit of glycogen stored in the liver from fructose, which we also do need. So I do also always recommend having a couple of pieces of fruit per day, typically like 1 to 3 servings per day. I like to be on the higher end. And no, you do not have to worry about sugar. Guys, every type of carbohydrate is broken down into sugar. That's our main fuel source. Carbohydrate is our primary fuel source and fats are secondary, meaning they're still important, right? Absolutely. And fats actually kind of fuel like lower intensity movement, like walking, talking, etc. Aerobic exercise, where the higher intensity stuff is fueled by carbs. So that's my main point here for you with this question. It's going to matter based on what you do. If you do a lot of like aerobic training and like that's kind of it, like you're probably fine with like a moderate kind of like a almost equal maybe carb to fat ratio. If you really want to perform, build muscle, those kind of things, the higher carb approach is typically going to be your best bet. I hope that answers your question. And of course, if you have follow-up questions, just let me know via Instagram. Next questions, also two questions from this person. First of all, can birth control affect appetite or weight? I find it harder to feel when I'm full now than before. I do not know that currently. I can look into it for you if you want to. And I would love to continue this conversation. But currently, I do not know. But let's remember, though, that birth control does affect a lot in the body. It's literally, and this is not even me demonizing it, right? There's a time and place for it in some cases. However, we need to know why that is and why we are currently taking birth control. Because here's the thing. Here's the reality, right? As you know, I'm always just objective, no opinions. Here's the reality. Hormonal birth control completely shuts off the communication between the brain and the ovaries. Specialists sometimes call this almost like medicinal or synthetic castration. That's kind of what it is, or chemical castration. I think that's the word they use. Which sounds extreme, I know that. But it literally shuts off the whole communication between the brain and the ovaries. It's going to play into estrogen and especially progesterone. You are not going to be making progesterone, which is a super important hormone. Let's call it like the feel-good hormone. And that only gets created if you ovulate, which obviously isn't happening on birth control. That being said, that will have an effect in many ways. Like I said, there's also a time and place for a birth control. And I think it's a personal choice. And I think we always just want to be advocates of our own health and just really explore, what we do, you know, and that goes for these kind of things too. That's a little bit of a side note because there's most definitely many, many effects when it comes to birth control. However, when it comes to appetite or weight, I do not fully know the direct link. Let me say this too. It does, again, objectively, based on the research, seem to raise a risk of depression as well as anxiety, which in turn can potentially lead to maybe some eating overconsumption of calories or something like that. You know, that could maybe have like an indirect link there, but that will be my answer. I do not fully know there when it comes to appetite, so I would have to look into that. And then she says, how do I know if I'm eating enough to gain muscle and strength without tracking everything I eat? She says, I'm getting stronger, but I've gained a little bit more fat than I wanted to. Yeah, that's what happens when we don't track most times. I don't think we should be tracking forever, guys. But I think tracking is a great tool. And it's the difference between you guessing of like, oh yeah, I'm probably progressing, those kind of things. And just knowing, like having your navigation system with the dashboard and knowing exactly, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm going, right? We have our plan. We know exactly, you know, we control that rate of weight gain. And that's the name of the game here. Tracking not only teaches you so much about nutrition, it's the way to keep your portion control in check. Because when it comes to muscle gain, when it comes to fat loss, it's all about controlling your rate of weight gain or weight loss. There's a specific rate you want to stick to. And for muscle gain, it's going to be in between 0.25 and 0.5% per week on the way up. When it comes to fat loss, it's going to be in between like 0.5 up to 1%, maybe a little bit faster sometimes per week. That is roughly what you want to stick to. If we do not track, then it's going to be very, very difficult to control that. And that's when we run into issues like, yeah, sometimes gaining a little bit more body fat than we wanted to. Is it possible without tracking everything? Yeah, it's possible. But most people will not succeed. Most people will not be consistent enough. Because here's the thing. Not tracking doesn't mean we're not going to use any tools. It needs to be somewhat of a form of portion control. We can use plates. We can do hand portions. There's a bunch of things. But muscle gain phases, that's a controlled period where you overeat. That's what it is. A fat loss phase is a controlled period of undereating. By definition, that's how those kind of things work. If you are in a calorie surplus for muscle gain, it is overeating on purpose. Fat loss, it's undereating on purpose. So that also means that that's going to mess a little bit with our hunger, satiety, those kind of things. We might feel super full on one end, maybe super hungry on one end, on the other end. Which is, to my point here, also why it's going to be very difficult to do this, let's call it intuitively. Right? Which is like this golden, what do we call it? It's like the unicorn, that we're trying to look for, ultimately find it. And I like the idea, but for creating results, we're not going to do that. We're not going to intuitively, eat our way to fat loss or muscle gain. So there needs to be somewhat of a measure, somewhat of a way of tracking. And macros will always be the best way to do so. It's up to the person using it, though, to make sure we don't take it too far. Just making sure that, there is a time and place to not track. But in my opinion, fat loss and muscle gain is not the time to not track. With every single one of my clients who's been successful long term, who's really made a change, right? We use macro tracking. And every single time, it's the thing that allows them to be successful with and without motivation. It allows them to be more flexible, because that's another misconception people have. It's like they think it's going to be restrictive. I'm like, no, we can be more flexible, more in control, because what gets measured gets managed, and we can master that, right? And I just think that tracking, it's a 5 to 10 minute thing per day. Unless you're new to it, it's going to take longer, but guess what? There's a learning curve, because no one starts something completely new and then masters that right away. So it makes sense that, hey, in the beginning, yeah, sure, there's a learning curve and there's a little bit of friction and, figuring it out, and maybe we don't feel like tracking. Let's think of it this way. If we want to get a strong, lean physique and we want to really, get some really cool results, and we say that this goal for us, to achieve that goal is super important, right? Is that an amazing goal, right? Is that really that unimportant that we don't want to track for it? That's always like my question, you know what I mean? And again, you don't have to always track. This is just my approach. This is how we do things. And it's worked over and over and over again for many, many years with many, many people, hundreds of people by now. So I do feel confident in saying that. I do. Intuitively, people are not great at portion control. That's why we have an issue worldwide with nutrition. So I don't like guessing our way to results. I like to know for sure and then move to maintenance. Because here's the thing. If you do this controlled and you use tracking to your advantage, because hey, at the end of the day, you're in charge, right? Then go through a fat loss phase where you control your fat loss, you reverse diet, you use tracking, and this is what we do with our clients too, by the way, right? Because our clients also don't keep tracking. It's like, no, we this is literally part of their plan. It's like, hey, at this point, when you are here back at maintenance, we are going to move you away from tracking and we are going to teach you how to also do without. And that's the ultimate goal. And that is where you want to be. But it will usually require tracking to get to that point, at least if we do it our way. And I can say with confidence that our way does fucking work. Getting to the next question. I always start a week off good with a workout, but then I have a job which can be both physically and mentally draining. Do you have any tips on how to stay active throughout the week? Like any specific things I could do to help with motivation and energy levels, which does not necessarily involve caffeine? Yeah, it's a great point. I think this is something we all struggle with, especially wintertime. It's busy already, and hey, maybe like me, you work a desk job. Guys, I only got my walking pad like 2 weeks ago. Like now I'm actually hitting that consistently, you know? Like before, like I said this on the last podcast, I had to make a point of going out the door in the cold, in the rain, whatever, to get some steps in, and it was difficult and it cost me a lot of time. And you know what? I wasn't motivated to do that 9 out of 10 times because I've been very work focused. I love this, right? I've been really building. So that being said, I've prioritized this over anything else, which also meant that, hey, all of a sudden, as much as I'm working on my passion project here, let's call it, right? My responsibility, because like I said, I have to share this stuff with you guys and we're building a lot of good stuff. But all of a sudden, I had to kind of take a step back and make time, more time to go on a walk, etc. Guess what? I just started training a lot more too. It's costing more of my schedule. A lot of times, it still kind of feels like, ah, fuck, I should be doing this, or, right? But guess what? Motivation or not, I think we can always still do the thing that is required for the goals that we set for ourselves, and we want to get healthier, and we want to get stronger, and more fit, and leaner, whatever it is. So then I say, fuck motivation, because it will not be there. Fat loss is not fun. It's not enjoyable. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, scare people here, but, like, it's true. Muscle gain is a lot of hard fucking work. You track your macros. You hit the gym 5 times a week consistently. You try to get enough sleep in. Because, hey, like, if your sleep suffers, like, you're also not going to build a lot of muscle, right? You really have to push at the gym. You have hard workouts. And you know what? It's going to take many months for you to actually see a little bit of, you know, muscle gain that's like good enough for you to really feel like, oh, you know what, like that was actually worth it. Unless you're new, by the way, I will say that. But a lot of times it's going to be like a long-term thing. Now going back to you, I do get it though, obviously, right? Especially if you have a job where it's like physically and mentally draining. How do we stay active? I think it's, because like I said, like we kind of just have to figure it out. If it's our goals, we just have to do the work that's required to reach that goal. But it's not just like, oh, yeah, well, just do it. Like, no, let's find out a way, just how we did with our client that I just mentioned. It's like, how can we find a way to add more activity? For me, that was investing in a walking pad. I have a stand-up desk. I get my steps in and I consistently hit 10K a day. I will say this, it's night and day, massive difference compared to before. It's way better right now. But okay, maybe that's not an option. Okay, can we squeeze in a 10-minute walk after lunch? Simple, but it tends to improve digestion, blood sugar levels, those kind of things. Is there a moment during our week where we can get it done, maybe before that fatigue hits? Because she mentioned, okay, I start the week off with a good workout, okay. But then it kind of slow, you know, it kind of like fades, I guess. Okay. First of all, now that I'm thinking out loud here, as you know, I like to think out loud. Can we add somewhat of a layer of accountability? And at the very low, like baseline level, that could be you with a checklist and your Google calendar and just reserving time. And you know what? I'm going to go into my schedule and I'm going to set this as my workout time and I'm going to start showing up and just how we need to go to work. This is now my appointment with myself and I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to make it happen even if I'm not motivated. That's that baseline level, right? Lowest level of accountability. Maybe you have a checklist. Maybe you set a goal of a couple of workouts per week or month even, and you set that goal and you start working on it. Let's go up a little bit of a level and include a friend or family member who can do this with you. Because now all of a sudden, if we say, I want to go to the gym, and if you have a friend who also wants to go, you're not going to let your friend wait, right? You're not going to have them be like, oh shit, well, I just got to do it on my own now. Like, no. If that person is going, you also had that accountability and you know, oh shit, actually, right? I better make sure I go too. Let's take it up even one more level. Get a coach. I'm biased, but I'm not even saying, hey, buy my shit, you know? If you want to coach with us and my team, awesome. If not, awesome. I'm here to help you either way. But, and this is why I have invested tens of thousands of dollars by now, like over the years. A lot. Actually, a lot now to think about it. But that's why I've done that for many, many years. Because I truly believe in that stuff, right? And I think coaches need coaches and mentors need mentors. And we can all benefit from the accountability and the guidance that comes with that. And that's why I preach this shit, because I fully, fully believe in this. And that's why we do what we do, right? That's why we have Odyssey Coaching Systems. That's why we created the team. That's why we're building it. That's why we're helping more people now, because I know this can help you, right? But going back to you, because like I said, if you want to work with someone else, awesome. But find a coach that you resonate with, that you feel like, hey, you know what? Like this person, like I like the way they think. This person I can relate to. And hey, like if that's not me, if I swear too much, like, okay, that's cool. Fair enough. And if that is me, also great. But get that accountability, whether it's with a coach or with a friend or family member. Join something like maybe like a group fitness kind of thing, or maybe like CrossFit. And at the end of the day, like I'd much rather see you have your own program still, like an individualized thing. But at the end of the day, like if we can get you started there and you can create that identity of someone who takes action, who shows up even without motivation, I think that's what we got to strive for, right? Because if you think about it now, if you visualize your future self, that person likely does not give a single shit about being motivated or not. They just get it done. So let's strive to become that person. Make sense? Last two questions. I want to wrap it up. Okay, cardio question. Are cardio machine warm-ups necessary before weight training, or are there alternatives? Really good question. I don't think they're necessary, but I think some type of warm-up will be good. And I like the warm-up to be... I feel like it should make sense for what you are going to be doing. If you are training legs, I would say like let's get a bit of a walk going. Maybe just walk to the gym even. Like I would count that as, you know, pretty good. Maybe do some stretching maybe before, depending on what you do. But walk to the gym. Get on a machine if you need to. You can do some incline stuff. You can do some cycling, whatever you got to do to warm up. That's the thing. You want to warm up. You want to get some blood flowing. Maybe get a little bit of a sweat going, right? Just be kind of like loose. You know what I mean? Like, especially this time of the year, it's winter. You'll probably know what that feels like, being like cold and like kind of stiff maybe, and you start your workout. Like, you're not just going to like throw weight on the bar and then let's go, right? Whether you use machines or dumbbells or barbells, whatever it is, start with a little bit of a warm-up that applies to your workout. Then maybe the first movement that you do, you would want to start light, low weights, whether it's machine, dumbbells, or maybe even just barbell or just a bar. That's all great stuff. And then from there, I don't think you need to be doing a lot of warm-ups like per set or, you know, movement that you do. Just in the beginning, like once you feel like good, like you should be kind of good to go, you know, but it really depends on your training. So I don't have any context here. I will say this, machines are great. Not using machines is also great. There's many different ways to warm up. The most important thing is likely that you do somewhat of a warm up. And then last question for today. What would you empathize more if you had to choose between good sleep or good nutrition? Really good question. Very similar to what we had in the last episode. I would not sacrifice either. And again, just like last episode, I would like to know what the rest of your week looks like and what are we talking about, like context-wise. I think sacrificing good sleep, right? Or maybe prioritizing, sorry, good sleep. What is, are we talking a day? Is your sleep really good the rest of the week? And are we talking maybe, right? Because here's the thing, like, I don't think that good nutrition needs to be at cost of good sleep, if that makes sense. Like, in my opinion, I think if we, if you eat meals, you can control what those meals are. And if you have a certain schedule, and I do know that this person also is trained to become a police officer, so I do know that he works, you know, certain times and sometimes at night, etc. So a lot will also come down to that, right? I do know that's going to have an impact. But I want to know, okay, how can we optimize for both? Because at the end of the day, you're going to need both. Sleep will impact everything. Good nutrition, then again, will also allow sleep to be better. For example, if you're under eating quite a lot, or, you know, shitty foods a lot of times, or at least a deficit when it's like really, you know, too much under eating, you'll start to see sleep suffer. A lot of times when nutrition is taken care of, that can actually help sleep. Even a little bit of a, you know, carbohydrate-rich meal in the evening can help blunt cortisol, which can then support melatonin production and kind of like indirectly support sleep maybe. So again, like I would like to just know what it looks like currently. And this is where nutrition just needs to be individualized. It's very difficult to have one answer. And I don't like to make this choice. You know what I mean? I don't want to say good sleep or good nutrition. I want to see both. And I want to see what's possible for you. I want to know what's doable in terms of your schedule. How can we make sure that we get some good sleep in? And hey, if you're doing crazy night shifts, maybe we want to start looking at maybe some power naps here and there if we can. It's not going to be the same, but it can help. Can we potentially even look into some supplementation if that's needed? Can we support sleep as much as possible? Then on the nutrition side of things, can we also, again, if you are busy, if that's the factor here, can we make that work anyway? Is there anything that we can proactively do now that will save your future self time and effort and energy in the long run? I'm thinking meal prep, and this is an easy one, and I know you actually do this, I know this person, but still, think about that, right? You do the meal prep so that the next few days, you don't have to cook the meal, and that's going to help you save time while still eating healthy. So those are the things. I always tell people, like, let's try to automate as much as possible. Let's try to create a system around what you have a hard time with, and that's going to be, again, individual. So I know that's, again, a long-winded way of saying both. B-O-A-F, both. Now, we're all joking aside, right? Let's kind of zoom out once again. That's really the name of the game, guys. I think with any of these questions, let's completely zoom out and let's really think big picture. I think, okay, like, how can I make both work so that it's not either or, but can I use both and adjust or tweak both so that both support my goals, both in the short term as well as in the long run? So that is it for today's Q&A. Thank you so much for listening once again. Thanks for everyone submitting these questions. These have been great. I definitely want to do more of this. And it also kind of helps me kind of figure out like what you guys want to learn more about. I will be back with another awesome episode with Alexandra together. I want to dive into alcohol and a couple other things too with her. And I think we are getting close to episode 100, which is nuts. Yeah, we got 3 more episodes, which is crazy, to be honest with you. Is it 2 or 3? No, I lost count. No, it's actually 2 after this. That's nuts. That's crazy. I'm stoked. That's really cool. Damn. Time flies when you're having fun. Thanks again for listening. Once again, I really appreciate you being here. And if you do not yet, make sure to hit follow on Spotify just so you know when the next episode will come up. And then I'll chat to you very soon. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.